o conectar con nosotros en Facebook en Catskill Food Pantry.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Zach Wilkes of Spencertown, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you. all alone. There's a certain weight that tugs you and tethers you to home. The surf and the waves, it's the weather that brought us two together. On certain days you think any port in the storm. Play my hand, raise my voice, trying to be a man. Turn my face from the water, thinking any port in the storm, anybody that's warm, any port in the storm, anybody that's warm, any port in the storm. Shell sat on its shelf, loving any port in the storm, anybody that's warm, any port in the storm, anybody that's warm, any port. Expectations and the days go fast, overtaken by the waves, never shaken, so never awaken. And we're taken by our graves, loving any port in a storm, anybody that's warm, any port in a storm, anybody that's warm, any port in a storm, anybody that's warm.
Hello, listeners. My name is Rob Lumberg with Uncontaminated Sound. Today I have with me Taylor Hart, or as he likes to be known, as Markel, as his visual artist name. Welcome to my inaugural Uncontaminated Sound live series.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So you hail from, is it Saskatchewan, Canada? Is that correct?
Yeah, that is, yeah. I know it's always it's a fun word for any American to say.
Yes, I was trying to like, am I going to get it right, pronounce it right?
Listen, if you guys can say Mississippi, I'm pretty sure you can say Saskatchewan, because there are just as many comical names in America.
So is that central Canada, or where's that geolocated, one would say?
I would say it's about right in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. So, where to begin? I'm sorry, I'm a bit off the a bit off my agenda right now, but we'll go with it. That's why I called a series on contaminated sound, generally off-the-cuff conversations regarding art and craft. So how long have you been an artist, one would say? One would say all their lives, but how long have you really been pursuing art as a serious endeavor?
It's been about 3 years now.
3 years?
I loved like drawing and stuff as like a kid, but like, you know, eventually you get to the point where like sports and girls and parties and stuff like that kind of becomes more important. But yeah, I think when I was like 29 is when I was finally like just kind of fed up with working jobs that I absolutely hated. And I was like, well, you know what? I may as well just try at something I do want to do.
Well, growing up in that part of Canada, what was the influence regarding culture, arts from like growing up to that stage in 29? Or like, how were you influenced to pursue art? And what was going on in that region?
I wouldn't say anything around here was like inspired me. Like, I've always loved like, you know, TV shows and animation and movies and books and like video games. And there's so many different kind of things you can take inspiration from that kind of gets you going to that. But like from around here, like I don't want to like talk badly, but it's just more like, you know, when I was at the galleries around here, sometimes I'm just kind of bored, you know what I mean? And I just kind of started making my own stuff.
No, sorry. Well, did you have any, regarding like grown up, did you have any parental influences or any encouragement to pursue art? Or where did that need to pursue art stem from, I guess? Yeah, I know you were kind of tired of, you know, the 9-to-5 grind or just working and stuff like that, but was there something with you all that time that inspired you to pursue this?
You know, like growing up in my household, you know, my parents were always very like spiritual people, very artistic. Like my dad is probably one of the most talented musicians I've ever heard. The guy can just pick up any kind of instrument, and he's always pursuing that and learning new instruments, new sounds, new influences. You know, finding new teachers to teach him stuff. So I think definitely there was always kind of the arts in the house, but as far as like, you know, actually being like an artist and all that, it was just something I kind of always thought about and always wanted to do. And I think I just like being creative, because like I used to love like writing songs and stuff like that too, but once I started painting, I was just like, ooh, this is definitely more me than any of the other stuff, you know what I mean? It's almost like finding your own voice or how you want to express into the world, right? Because I think anybody who's creative can be creative, I think, in anything. You know what I mean? If someone can write a song, they can make a painting, right? If someone can cook and plate like a beautiful meal, you can make art too, right? It's like, it's just really understanding flavors. But yeah, as far as like, you know, I definitely did have the support of my parents, and maybe that was, it's like a good thing and a bad thing. Do you know what I mean? Where other parents are always telling their kids to like, you know, be realistic, do this, do that. I was like, you know, maybe I want to be an artist now. And they're like, cool, go do it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's go do it.
Now, did you initially, did painting initially call to you? Or did something else call? Because I'm also a multi-medium creative, one would say. So I'm like, I've experimented with painting, but mostly my photographic stuff picked up. So I kind of went with that. But did you have any other mediums that really called you, or was painting the really medium that really called to your expression?
Well, I would say it was more like I used to love drawing as a kid. And then naturally, it just kind of when I started doing it again, like really it only happened because end up injuring my back at work in a construction job, like when I first started painting. So I couldn't work out. I couldn't work. I couldn't like pick up my son. Do you know what I mean? Like I couldn't even really be, since I signed that FCC document, I'll say I couldn't even be like intimate with my partner at the time. Right. Like my girlfriend. And it was like, so really I had like nothing. And I was just miserable. And then I just was like wanting my son to not like play so many video games. So I was like, hey, let's paint, right? Why don't we do that? And then, you know, we started painting, and after like a half hour, you know, he was like, can I be done, Dad? And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, go do what you want to do. I was like, but I'm going to do this. Because, like, I was like, oh, my God, I'm good at this. Hmm. You know what I mean? It was almost like I forgot, like, how I think just naturally kind of, you know, talented towards it I am. Mm-hmm. I think I've just always had, like, a proclivity towards being creative. So, and once I started doing that, it actually gave me that outlet that I didn't have at the time. But then I stopped and I went to university and I was like, hey, I'm going to do this, right? I'm not going to be a construction worker anymore. I'm going to be, you know, an intellectual. Let's go learn. And then I went to university and I ended up taking an art class that really did just show. I was like, oh, wow, I am really good at this. Because here's the thing, people who've been doing it their entire lives. And, you know, I was just thinking about it in a different way. Maybe almost in like a naive way, which ended up being good for me.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how did you develop your art? Like, I've noticed you've kind of scaled up to panels and like actual large pieces where you have to capture these pieces via drone to document. But did you start at that scale, or did you start with a piece of paper?
I think the first painting I did was maybe like 8 inches by 8 inches.
Yeah.
And then just with each next kind of installment, it was always just getting a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. And it was almost like every time that I was doing it, I was like, how am I going to fill this thing? It's huge, right? And it was only like maybe like a foot by, you know, 2 feet. And it was like every single step, you're just like, how can I fill this up? Like, this is too big. And I kind of love that feeling, right? So then eventually you keep growing it in scale and growing it in scale. And you realize like the limits that we have are just the ones that we put on ourselves.
Hmm.
There's no rules to being creative. Yet, for some reason, we always try to. We try to think like, oh, I don't want to take that too far, but why not? Why not just go crazy, right? Yeah. Even if something doesn't sell, who cares? You still get to do it, and that's the whole point. I think you meet a lot of people who kind of like, they get very, very hard on themselves because they just think, oh, like, I'm not talented enough, I'm not whatever, but it's generally because we want a certain outcome, and that's what stifles people. It's kind of like the difference of like, you know, when you hear a song and you go, yeah, they made that for money. And then you hear the people who they needed to vent, they needed to write, they needed to get some story out. Well, and then it ends up becoming something that is timeless because it's written with passion. It's written with love, you know?
I totally understand. When I got burnt out myself from taking my craft too seriously, craft, right? Yeah. Like before, when I came in to pursue, not even pursue, to even attempt to pursue or have any intent to pursue art, I just picked up the camera and it was flowing. But once you start having these constrictions of what people think about you or your art, I feel like it stifles your creativity, if that's what you're trying to kind of say as well, where it's like, if you're just pure, you're creating for the purity of creation, and the purity of your expression, then you're going to create amazing stuff. Well, in your perspective, you can go as large as you want to, but having those constraints of if it's good or not, what people think about it, it really is
ruins
limiting, right?
Yeah, it ruins everything, right? I mean, how many movies are there on Netflix that you can just see that they were just made just to fill a slot, right? Just so they have more. But I don't think you really need to sacrifice quality for quantity. I think you can have both.
Now, have you came across a creative blockage, though, as, you know, or have you found a way, like, and this would be amazing for any creative to tap into, just a constant creative flow.
You got to enter the flow state, right? And it's weird because it just feels like such a hard thing to get into, but once you're there, you're there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, I was kind of like, this is the way I think about it, and like, I don't generally like explaining this because it comes off as like pretentious, but the way I think about it is, it's almost like meditating in a way where you breathe, and you're there, right? You're always in the flow state. Hmm. The only thing that blocks us is thinking that there might be a block, right? But as long as you start creating, you can just continue. It's like turning on a faucet. You know what I mean? It just keeps flowing and flowing and flowing, and I think it's when you trust your ideas and you trust yourself that you continue going. Because again, it's when you start putting those constraints on yourself for, oh, I need to make something so good and so great. And not all your ideas are great. Some of them are just terrible, right? Mm-hmm. But if you just keep flowing and you keep creating, it just, the ideas don't stop. And mm-hmm. even the thing is too, like, we always, because it's that thing of like, oh, I want it to be good. I want, that just stifles you too. Because some ideas work and some don't work.
Of course. That's fine. Yeah.
You can always, and that's the one thing about painting is like, I've realized when you make something end up making it look bad, like if it ends up being bad and it just doesn't work, you can just paint over it. So it's not a big deal, right? And it's not a waste of time because you learn from everything.
No, I agree. I think some of the best stuff is through failure, you know, like some of your best conceptual stuff is through like a bad idea, and then you revisit it and you're like, oh, I can pull this like one thing from this, and you can expand it into a good idea, you know? So I think,
well, even just like a life itself, right? Or even character growth, right? We through failure and everything, that's when you learn about yourself. You make a mistake, right? You learn, right? You are, say, like, we're not all great in relationships at the beginning. When you're young, you break up for dumb reasons because you did something stupid or they did something stupid, and you get mad, and it's like, but then you learn from that. It's, I mean, life is just continual growth. And it's generally through failure. It's generally through doing something dumb, right? Doing something that's not really in your character, and then it kind of brings you back to it and instills your values. Like, that's just the way that life itself works, just going with nature.
Yeah, I agree. My whole time in New York myself in the last 8 years has just been this constant, that constant pressure, or no, not pressure, that constant process of evolution of self, where is definitely nothing has been stable or linear, you know, of just pursuing, you know, this higher vision I've had regarding my creative vision and self and identity. And it's just been, it's been, I'll have to have some time to just to reflect on the journey of myself, but regarding yourself and your practice, did you ever like move away from Central Canada and try to see a different perspective? I guess that's what my journey to New York was trying to break free from my like hometown and kind of see New York and see the bigger picture. But did you ever try that or attempt that process as well?
No, because like, I mean, when I was 19, like the idea was to always kind of move away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because I always looked up to my mom in the way where, you know, she's from Scotland and like she moved to Canada, like again, by herself. Like it was pretty crazy, you know, like it's like, that's a big move and it's very courageous. And it's, I think it's something so admirable. And my idea was always to move away too. But, and then I ended up having my son at 19. So it just kind of changed that whole thing. And I think in a way that's what kind of made me become an artist in general. Cause being, I don't know if you're a parent or anything, but when you have kids, it definitely just gives you a different perspective. Makes you realize that a lot of the things that you do and you think matter, especially when you're young, don't really matter. It kind of brings like a simplicity to your life. And I think you can still get that overall perspective of moving. And like, I've traveled and stuff too, but I've never like moved, maybe one day. But I still think you can get good perspectives just by learning. And by wanting to learn and by being curious about life. Because you're not totally like succumb to your environment, right? You can still create your own environment.
Well, I agree. As you can perceive the world just from your perspective wherever you are in the world, right? Like,
and well, then, I think it's also by seeing other perspectives too, though. Because that's the problem with, I think, human beings in general. We always just want to see it from our perspective, but we're not always right. And a lot of times in situations, it's not like you're right and they're wrong. Sometimes you're both right. It's just, you just have to meet in the middle.
Yeah.
What's that saying? There's three sides to every situation, right? There's your side, their side, and then there's the truth.
That's a debatable concept these days, but, yes. No, I mean, yeah, it's, I agree where it's, you have different perspectives and having that happy, that common medium, the common ground of understanding where both parties come from, or different perspectives come from, and having that middle ground. Yeah. But regarding, like, the creative process, how do you gain that those different perspectives? If I guess you didn't do the big trip and relocation, is it from different literature, film, movies, visiting different galleries, immersing yourself into different types of art? Is that your process, or am I incorrect in that?
Like, what is my specific process?
I guess so. Like, how do you gain new perspectives, I guess, if
I think reading. Yeah. Reading is always a big one, right?
Yeah.
Reading, and even here's the thing too, is even if you don't want to read, there's documentaries, there's movies, there's video games, there's, you know, you can look at new recipes. Like, as long as you're trying new things, I think that's how you stay creative. And part of my process is generally just asking myself, like, how do I feel right now? What am I feeling? And how can I turn that into a story?
Now, what story are you, I guess, what narratives do you pick up on in your art, and what themes do you attempt to communicate through your pieces?
That's tough, because I think each narrative is just, they're all connected, but they're all different as well. Like, again, it always starts with, like, what am I feeling right now? Like, I think that's how you generally can make art that people can connect with, is really just trying to get that feeling across. So people can go, okay, like, then they can kind of figure out what they feel about it. Like, even, like, this one behind me is just, it really just comes down to, in the last 3 years, I was just really thinking about all the change and the growth that I've gone through, and even just the shift in mindset. Like, I think for a long time I struggled with, like, you know, like, depression. Like, and it was always, like, seasons of depression. Like, I'd be great, and yeah, things are good. I started a new job, and then, oh, my God, I hate this job. I'm so bored of it. I'm so bored of the people around me. Or then I'd be, like, in a new relationship. I'm like, oh, my God, this is great. And then, like, in a couple months, I'd be like, wow, this sucks. Like, I'm, like, you know what I mean? It was always just, like, really extreme highs, extreme lows, and then another extreme high, then another extreme low. And I kind of just stopped thinking in that way and acting in that way. And a lot of times I find that growth is it's beautiful, but it's also violent in nature. It's because it's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good. And that's kind of how I started this, and that's just what the feeling was.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's not done yet.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, you should see this thing in the light. It's like, it's great, because in the sunlight it largely disappears, but once you have the light just going above is when it really shines through.
So it looks like, since I can attempt to describe the piece, we have a skeletal structure in the middle panel, and then is that like, I guess as you speak to growth, it looks like branches stemming from the skull of the skeletal structure.
I'm very happy that you said branches, because I showed one of my friends and they're like, oh, it's like his hair. I was like, why would you have to ruin it like that?
Well, to me right now, the initial impression is certainly branches. So you did your job.
I'm glad you got that, because I honestly, when he said that, I was like, great, now I hate it.
I'm like, oh, is that his hair? Or
I swear, it's always your friends and family who ruin it for you, right? We're like, this is great, and like strangers be like, oh my God, that's beautiful. And then like your friend walks up and they're just like, that's lame, that sucks. And you're like, sweet.
No, it's totally true.
Yeah, well, it's actually, well, I want to talk about you then. So, because you're a photographer, right? So like, for you, how do you decide what deserves to be photographed?
That's a good question. You know, I've generally, that's a good question. Yeah, my process, one would say, is generally loose, obviously. I generally, I dive deep into, like, my visceral self and look at moments. A lot of my, like, say, street photography stuff is just moments of, like, I'm fascinated with found objects, and I kind of document found objects kind of like evidentiary style, like say a piece of glass and then backlit. And but if it was just more street photography and natural stuff, it just I just notice a shadow or the scene that plays out. And if I have my camera, which I should have it on me all the time, but I guess I have a cell phone too. It's just these moments of like, I just think about in my subconscious that like just connect with my soul, and I snap away. I don't really think about it. I just create, you know. And the trouble with me came when I think too much about anything, about my art career or trying to over, you know, or the process behind creating. It comes naturally to me where I'm just fluid, where I'm just out there snapping away. But I like the mundane objects. I like, you know, everyday objects where I can document found objects. I've been experimenting with still lifes in my studio, but I'm also document music and musicians and other creatives. So I love documenting energy, one would say, as well.
Oh, and just people that inspire you, right? So you were saying how, like, you know, it's when you overthink. So how often do you find that your mind gets in the way of creating?
Well, I think recently, yes. It's definitely been the case where I've kind of held myself up in certain instances, and I've gotten in my own way recently, where I'm trying to, at this present moment as we speak, overcome a creative block. I guess...
Now?
Yes, yeah, right now. Well, yeah, I lost a lot of confidence recently, you know, a lot of failures and seemingly, you know.
How are the failures?
Well, it's just, in my perspective, there were failures. I can't get too much into it, but... In hindsight, though, like looking back, it was probably the wrong environment where I should have been in anyway. So it's it was just mostly due to people and rules and not understanding who I am. And
that they didn't understand who you were, or you don't understand?
They didn't. They didn't, one would say. It was just, yeah, some stuff I was very confused about, and just didn't make me feel good about myself and what I was attempting to do as a photographer, and what I thought I was sent out to do in the field to document. And there was a lot of miscommunications and a lot of unwritten rules that weren't passed down to me, you know? And it just, then when they just, in this group of people I didn't even know, just made me feel bad about, like, what I was.
You often let the opinions of others dictate how you feel about yourself?
That's a good question. And I guess we're going into some psychology.
May as well, because, you know what? Yeah. The way I see it, this is part of like talking about art too, because a lot of times we do just get in our own ways, right? And we let the opinions of others. And a lot of times the people that you're letting, like, them make you feel differently about yourself, you don't even care about them. You don't even, like, you probably don't even know their last name or their favorite color. They don't even matter. Right? In your life, they don't matter. So it's like if I try to tell this to my son all the time, where it's like, you can only be like embarrassed if you feel embarrassed, right? I feel like I could be walking in front of a crowd, trip, my pants could fall down, and I'd probably be the first one to laugh about it. It's just like we try to take ourselves too seriously, and we care about the opinions of others, when a lot of times you won't even remember their face. And if you're not even going to remember their face, like, then why are you even taking what they're saying? Right?
And this is true. This is true.
Here's the thing, too. If you don't respect somebody as a person, why would you ever care what they say?
You're right. No, this is perfectly true. Where it's hard to coach myself like that, too. Or like when you come across these situations where it's like, yeah, it's been, I've been trying to practice that, where it's just like, just let it go. But it's
a practice. And the more you practice it, the better you'll get at it.
Yes, yeah.
The better your art will be, too.
And wrapping back to you, bounce back. I don't want to.
We get too much into you.
No, I know. We could go into, you know, Jungian psychology, and we can go into the really shadow self. You know,
I used to struggle with these same things.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it was always about, like, how can I make all these other people happy? It was like, and the large part of my life was kind of like, you know, just keeping the peace and making sure that other people are happy, always putting them first. And then the last couple of years I've actually, and with just with my son being able to get older and more independent, I'm going, now I have more free time.
Mm.
You know? And now it's, you have that time to really think about things. And like, and again, a lot of the times, because we're, especially as creatives, you're working jobs that you don't want to work to fund everything else. Do you know what I mean? I'm still bartending too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people you meet where you're like, wow, I do not care about them at all. And I feel like, you know, jobs where you have to be social and everything, they're really good for learning about yourself.
Yeah.
Because you get so comfortable in your own skin. Do you know what I mean? Like, because even think about it, you probably have things you could be insecure about, right? So could I, right? I'm a bald man, right? But guess what? I make it look good.
Yeah, yeah. You
know what I mean? I'm very pale, but guess it also makes my tattoos look awesome. So, you know what I mean? Like, there are all these things where it's like you could easily be insecure about them.
Yeah.
But also, why? It's who you are. It's kind of like someone having a comb over. Like, what are you doing? Like, embrace yourself. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I totally get it. No, it's taken me, I guess, years to figure that out, or like try to embrace that as to get over so many, you know, I guess one would say the child, you know, like, I guess childhood traumas or whatever, like external pressures of like, or, you know, saying this is not who you are until you, you know, in the last couple of years, you figure out, well, for me, it was like, oh, I'm an artist now in New York, and I've been working away at it, but it's been attacked too by so many external forces too, where I'm like, I thought I was an artist, but it's kind of still, I have to work on that, but
you're always going to be an artist. That's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing that also is like, stop identifying with things like that so much.
Yeah.
Just, we all, it's like when people are like, oh, I'm an empath. And you're like, no, you just have the ability to feel empathy. That just means you're a human being.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You just, and especially when you're young and everything, we just want these things to be, this is me. This is who I am. Like, this is me. It's like, no, it's not you. Like, you know what I mean? You just have to relax and let go of all that stuff. And even childhood trauma, all that stuff. Like, there's therapy. There's also books you can read, and you just let it go, because that isn't you. And a lot of the times where it's like these significant moments in your life where like, oh, that was so embarrassing, or oh, I can't believe that happened. I'm sure people are still thinking about it. No, they're not. People are too busy thinking about themselves.
That's true.
And I feel like the you become the best artist you can be when you are so comfortable with yourself, because you're not trying to be anybody. You're not trying to be anything. It's just, you just are.
Yeah, that's totally, that I 100%, you know, and
right. And I've seen your photos, man. Your photos are great.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and I was just looking at them last night. And I was like, man, these are really, really good. You know what I mean? So, so why are you questioning that?
Well, I'm just
like, why are you going to let people who are probably less talented than you make you feel bad about your art? Maybe they feel threatened by you. Maybe that's why they're trying to be so hard on you.
Yeah,
it's like there's always a compliment in every insult. Someone says, oh, you think you're all that? Well, no, clearly you think I'm all that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just being me.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. now, I guess, like, going back, I would love to get, you know, continue this discussion on. I love these discussions, and it's been beneficial. Thank you. Also, you know, have you shown your work in any galleries in the last couple of years when you started to, venues where people like or can actually immerse themselves in the work?
No, I don't feel like I'm there yet.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I like, I don't know if you've seen that big large piece that I'm working on, but it's only halfway done.
Wow. Okay.
You know what I mean? And it's all self-funded, right? So it's really, right now, I'm just working on other stuff because I'm, you know, saving up and budgeting for the rest of it. Because I still need another 220 canvases, right? And I have currently 220 for that one piece. And I feel like once I get that done, then I will be ready for a show. But I don't want a show where I'm not giving you the direction of which I'm going.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, it's weird, too. Did you ever find this where it's like, the better that I get at it, the better I get at creating, and the more confident I get, the less I really feel like sharing. It's a weird, you know what I mean? It's a weird irony to it, where, like, when you're first starting out, you're like, look, I made this thing. Would you please look at this thing? I made this thing. Look at it. Tell me it's good. But then you get to a point where you're like, yeah, I don't care what you think.
Yeah. And
I love it so much that it's like, yeah, I just feel less inclined to share.
Well, that's a debate, though, right? Is the creation of art just for yourself, or to be considered an artist, you actually have to put it out there in the public spectrum to hold weight as a serious artist?
Well, don't get me wrong. I cannot wait to share it, but it's not done yet. You know what I mean? It's just once it's done, absolutely. And that's why I've still been taking videos and stuff as I'm doing it. You know what I mean? Like when it was at 25%, I had a photo shoot with it so I could share it, right? And then at 50%, I did another photo shoot so I could share it. Like, and then once I get to 100%, I'll probably share that too. Like, it's not like I'm against sharing it, but it's definitely I do it for myself first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I just have something that I want to create. I have this vision. I have this dream. I had this idea that I really didn't think was going to work. I didn't think I'd even get this far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's just baby steps. I mean, look, I mean, the only, like, and this is what I love too, is how powerful our thoughts and our ideas are. The only reason I'm talking to you is because 3 years ago I went, maybe I'll try being an artist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The only reason why I have, you know, my house just full of canvases, I have like close to like 300 canvases in my place. And it's like getting to the point where I'm like, I feel like slightly crazy. But the only reason I have all that is because I decided to do it. And I decided that nothing was going to stop me from doing it.
Mm.
Because, like, in the past, I always had – we all have those mental blocks where it was like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not talented enough. And then you realize it's all bull, right? Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But there's no rules to life. We can make whatever we want. But we always have this outcome in our head where we're like, oh, no, I need to be rich. I need to be famous. And you're like, no, you don't. Those aren't your ideas. Nobody's born going, I want to be known by every single human being. Like, that's weird, right? It's a weird concept.
That is like, true. You know, like,
you ask a little kid, like, oh, what do you want to be? They're like, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be, like, it's all these things where it's like, it's all about adventure and exploration, you know? And then school and society and everything comes in where, like, no, I need to be rich. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the concept of earning, you know, and making a living for yourself in this construct of, like, particularly in the corporate end, where I've done some work in the corporate world where I definitely didn't belong because I didn't understand those types of politics and, like, backstabbing. And, like, I like to pursue interesting ideas and particularly in technology. And I was, like, just there purely for chasing ideas. But that's not what work is about whatsoever. And absolutely. I'm like, I can't play that type of game. You know, it doesn't resonate with my brain and my spirit and my soul. I'm too free, one would say, you know?
Nobody has a soul who's working in corporate, I'm sorry to say. the people who thrive in corporate, like, they are the most cookie-cutter, boring person you've ever met. You know, the one thing I noticed was nobody asks anybody anything. Nobody's asking a personal question. How can you sit beside somebody for, like, 2 years and not know their likes, their dislikes, their wife? Name there, you know what I mean? It's just like, it was the weirdest thing.
Yeah,
I think I've always been kind of personality higher because I generally just kind of bring the vibes and I don't listen very well, but for some reason people always want me around, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, but corporate in general, like, that was that last straw where I was just so wildly depressed, because, like, for a while I was, like, trying to convince myself that money was my motivation. I was like, I'm gonna make some money and then I'm gonna be an artist. And then, you know, 6 months of it, I was like, okay, I kind of want to blow my brains out, so I'm just going to go be an artist.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's so hard to, like, resonate, particularly in the States where it's like there's very little support for, like, pursuing art as a professional career, you know? There's very little backing, you know?
It's always been that way.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Like, maybe during the Renaissance. There's always periods in time where you know, like where science and arts and everything comes to the forefront. It's all about, you know, strengthening the community and all that. And then, you know, then it'll flip into, you know, war and all this other stuff going on. But like, I think there's never really been like a place for the arts. It's because it's always, I mean, think about it. Like actors nowadays have such prestige, but they were like essentially on the same scale as being homeless back then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Throughout time. Like it wasn't a prestigious thing. You were, you know what I mean? You were like in this weird little sidecar throwing on a play, like making fun of the king. Right. And that was what it was. It was never really like, so it's almost weird. It's like when you're starting something creative and artistic, everyone looks down on you until you get to a point where you don't care and you're really good. And that's when they hold you up. And then you're their baby, right? They're like, oh, wow, you're great. And then you get a little too big and then people want to tear you down. Right. It's kind of like the same crowd that, you know, will applaud as they're putting the crown on you will be applauding and cheering when they chop your head off. Right. It's just, that's just how it goes.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, you know, the status quo doesn't like to stand out, one would say, you know.
It is uncomfortable to stand out, though, too.
I
find it very uncomfortable. I was super nervous for this, especially, you know, when I was looking for, like, that FCC document where it was, like, no profanity. I was like, oh, my God. Because, like, when I'm usually really, like, this is the cleanest I've spoken in years. You know, I generally swear like a sailor. But one thing I didn't get about the FCC document was the... It was like, no indecency. And I was like, how can you be indecent on radio?
Yeah.
Without,
yeah.
Like, I'd have to vividly describe to you, like, Mr. Rob, I'm not wearing any bottoms right now. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, this is a very uncomfortable situation for myself as well, because my series, obviously, Uncontaminated Sound, was the ethos of the series, was just to be uncontaminated and unlimited in free speech and unedited, really. And that's why I kind of just kicked it off on Zoom, you know, and where I was just distributing through YouTube. So where I just had total freedom to have open-ended conversation. So this is a totally uncomfortable experience for myself right now.
So why then are you – why did you decide to go to radio then? Where now you are very contaminated, right? By rules. By rules. Are you like, do you know what I mean? Are there things like you can or can't specifically talk about?
Well, this is a good question. And this is where I thought it was, I wanted to just give it a shot. Like, again, I'd like to experiment and I wanted just to try it out and see if it worked. And if it doesn't, it doesn't, right? I can always go back to my series, which I still plan, you know. So, that's a good question, because I was always just, like, interested in trying something new, you know, because I did feel flat just going to Zoom conversations, and I love the conversations, but it was getting flat, so I like a different kind of dynamic. But I also wouldn't disagree with you on that latter statement you just said.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to poke holes in the name. Well, how about this? And why, like, how come you don't have a podcast? Do you have a podcast?
I need to catch up on the audio. Okay. I think we have like 40 something episodes up, but I have 65 recorded episodes. But I need to get back up on the podcast side of things too as well. But
so would that be just uploading these videos or like and audios, or would that be then again on your own kind of thing?
Well, yeah, I guess I one would just have to find distributors or whatever, but you know, I miss like in-person interviews where I started with like four like just a handy cam and just, you know, just in-person interviews with this rough kind of recording. That's what I love is and then the obviously pandemic kind of sidetracked that, and Zoom was much easier to communicate and get interviews across the nation with interesting individuals. So, I want to kick it off. I get burnt out for a while last year I was doing like 3-4 interviews a week, and it was burning me out a bit. But
I'm sure that, like, again, and then added to like all your photography and everything personal for you, right? It does add up.
Yeah.
How do you get yourself out of burnout? Like, what's your process for that?
Well, I'm kind of in the midst of it now. but I so like when I'm not like I'm burnt out from photography, I paint. Like, I have a studio in Hudson, New York, and I paint. I paint a lot, neo-expressionist, really raw emotional pieces that stem from my subconscious self, and that's really a healing process as well. So if I'm not like, if I'm kind of burnt out from the lens and stuff, I just go to my painting in the oils, in acrylic stuff, yeah.
And that kind of brings you out of it?
Yeah. Oh, I also love to dance. Like, I love music and, like, just good vibes and hosting people for, you know, dinner and getting around positive people. That also breaks me out of it as well. Or
it's funny how energy is so contagious. Do you know what I mean? Which is why when you surround yourself with a lot of negative people, you're going to feel negative too, right? Like, just like what you were saying, working in the field with those people who kind of made you question yourself, right? You're not the problem, right? Your environment is the problem. We all have our own select kind of communities, right? Of people who really value you. You got to spend time with those people, right? And not care about the ones who don't value you.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I agree. And I guess my curiosity sometimes has led me down those roads where I'm like, I try to force myself into wrong communities and has led to those types of feelings. And then
what makes you need to like feel the need to force yourself into these communities?
That's a good question. A therapist would ask.
Sorry, if I'm getting like too personal. It's okay. We can.
No, that's where I like to dive. This is good. This is good. This is
followed up with, what's your favorite color?
Black. that's a good question. Where it's like,
great way to look at it. All I'm saying is, like, when you, because again, we all feel the need to like force ourselves to be liked, to be whatever, and it's like, man, those aren't your people. That's not your environment. And again, it's all about knowing yourself, right? Again, just keep, I think, within yourself, and then you'll make great art, and then you also won't force yourself into these groups. It's all about loving yourself.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, that's the process where I've been trying to work on for years, man. And it's a difficult process because I've had to deal with a lot in New York and recovering from a concussion from an accident in 2017 that drastically changed my perspective of myself and how I thought. And physically changed myself as well, and particularly also on the cognition level as well. And there's a lot of perspective from that experience where people kind of abandoned me in the deep, my darkest times, or the times of struggle regarding the accident, didn't believe me, and you know, so there's still a lot of pain behind that, and
How do you deal with that?
Art. art, pure expression. Pure raw expression, where I write as well. I do a lot of free poetry. I have manuscript of writing. I have a typewriter. I'm just like, do. Paint.
Like a legit typewriter?
Yeah.
Why? Okay, this is one thing I don't get, is why do people want to type on a typewriter rather than a keyboard? Is it the sound?
It's the actual analog feeling. It's the physical. It's the actual physical manifestation of typing. The physical keys of the, it makes me feel good. Like the analog kind of tactile approach to writing, you know. But
are you the guy who takes the typewriter to the coffee shop?
No. I have a notebook for that, but not there yet. But I may, Taylor. I may. I may be that guy soon.
But you can skip that. You can skip that part.
We have a few minutes left. Anything you'd like to say about your work, or where could people just peruse the internet to see and visit what you have up there online?
Absolutely. God, what do I want to say about my art? I love it.
Yeah.
It makes me happy. I think I'm very confident in it. Wait, so what are the rules about saying the
website? I'm just asking, where can people discover your arts on the interwebs?
Okay, so Instagram and TikTok are both Markel's World, and my website is markelsworld.com. Oh my god, I think I might not know what my website's called.
I understand that, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we could like edit it and post and be like, all right, he actually meant this.
Yeah. And Markel Taylor Hart, it was a pleasure talking to you. Apologies for the delay. I certainly would like to maybe dive deeper on Zoom and on my podcast. So, but we'll see.
I'm definitely down for a round two. And if you ever need to talk about any of this stuff, man, you got my Instagram. You can message me.
Oh, yeah, I think we would have a deep therapeutic discussion, you know, and that would be great.
I think they need it.